This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message. And if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
2 weeks ago, I mentioned that I felt led to preach on three passages that have been guiding scriptures, encouraging scriptures for me for a good part of my Christian life. And we're going to talk about the second one today, which is the one verse is Galatians 6:9. We're going to read a little bit more than that. So would you please stand as we read? Holy Spirit, before we read, we acknowledge on this day, centuries ago, you came down powerfully, filled the early church in Jerusalem, and 3,000 that day came to Jesus. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. This is your word. You inspired it, and you gave it to us as a gift to open our minds, hearts, and spirits to your truth. So, Holy Spirit, you're the true preacher and teacher here. It's your voice we want to hear. So thank you for that. Thank you for guiding us as we read. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So in Galatians 6:7, Paul says, don't be misled. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Paul planted this church in Galatia early on, one of his first churches that he planted, and he nurtured these people and he taught them about Jesus. But then they went a wrong direction. And what he is going to try to make clear to them in Galatians, and we're going to go over this just a little bit, is there's a decision they have to make, a fundamental decision about Jesus. But then we're going to look at a fundamental decision later as they're following Jesus. One of the interesting things about Galatians is Paul begins the letter saying, this is from Paul, you know who I am. And he reminds them what Jesus has done for them, that Jesus sacrificed his life for them. But then he says this, the very first thing, right out of the gate, I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. What had happened is some false teachers had come into this church, and instead of living in the freedom of a relationship with Jesus, instead of living in that freedom, and you know, that's what Jesus came to give us, was freedom. You know, later on he says, it is for freedom that Christ Jesus set you free. Jesus isn't one putting burdens on you. Jesus is the one working to set you free from any kind of burdens you're carrying. But some people had come in saying, well, you know, really, if you want to be a real Christian, what you need to do is you also need to obey Moses' law, which includes all the males have to be circumcised. That's no fun. And you've got to obey this law and putting this burden on them. And Paul is saying, look, here's your choice. Here's the fundamental choice you've got to make. Are you going to rescue you from your sin? Are you going to rescue you from being separated from God? Or are you going to let Jesus rescue you from being separated from God? Are you going to do it? Or are you going to allow Jesus to do it? That's the choice, the initial choice. And they had initially chosen Jesus. Now they're going back to like, we can do this ourselves, right? We got this. Essentially what that's like cosmically is this. Imagine you're 100 miles out in the Atlantic Ocean in the middle of a hurricane, 100-foot waves, right? And it's just you. No boat, no life jacket, nothing to hold on to. It's just you and the Atlantic Ocean working to kill you. And not only that, but guess what? You've got a weight tied around your legs. The weight of all your brokenness and sin. And you're going to sink. And the devil comes along and says, I know you can do this. Just swim harder. Just, you can do this. You've got it in you. Just keep swimming. And we all know that's ridiculous. That's not only ridiculous counsel, that's evil counsel. There's no way. You're going to drown. That's it. The other option is, Jesus comes and says, let me lift you out of that. And by the way, that burden of sin around your legs will sink to the bottom of the ocean, just like Jenny and Eric's song talked about. All our sin. But we're lifted up, and we're rescued. And you know, when you're rescued from that, all you can do is let it happen. It's just accept that you're being rescued by someone more powerful than you. Because otherwise, you're going down. That's it. Well, these folks in that's what trying to obey rules and regulate. You're going to save yourself. That's essentially what you're doing. You're deciding that you can fight the hurricane all by yourself with the weight around your legs, and it'll be just fine. I know I can, right? No, you can't. No one can. We need to be rescued. Everybody in the human race has needed to be rescued. And they had accepted that rescue from Jesus, but now they've been distracted and they're going back thinking, no, we can handle this ourselves. That's why Paul is so shocked. It's such a foolish, foolish decision. The only way we can be rescued is by welcoming Jesus and letting Jesus rescue us, welcoming him into our lives. And you know, It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science to understand what the root problem is in that whole scenario is. It's our pride. It's our pride. You know, it's the same pride, ultimately. Well, you know, I was with my oldest granddaughter the last few days, and she was asking, why did the devil turn against God? And I said, you know, we really don't know, because he had it really good. He's the head angel. He's in charge of all the angels. And he turns against, what was going on? All we can say is there was a pride he wanted to sit on God's throne. And that pride, he wanted to be on the throne. And you know, there's a similar scenario that goes on in our hearts all the time. Who's going to be on the throne of our hearts? Hey, if it's us, we're going to the bottom of the ocean. We're lost. But here's the beautiful thing. When it's Jesus on the throne of our hearts, we're free. We're free. It's really paradoxical. We let somebody else be in charge of us, and then we're set free. That's what the Galatians were throwing moving away from. And that's why Paul is so incredibly shocked. He is so stern with these people. You know, there are other situations, like in 1 Corinthians, the church at Corinth, to us, it would seem a little more shocking. They were getting drunk while they were having communion, and poor people were sitting over here not having anything to eat, and rich people were over here plenty to eat and drink during communion. That's sort of shocking. There was other kinds of sin. But you know what? This is where Paul is sternest with these people, because they're walking away from Jesus. And the result is only going to be disaster. So that's the first choice he puts before him. But then, later on in the letter, he talks about this second decision, that once we're following Jesus, that we need to focus on a second thing, and it's this, what we read. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Okay, let's have some fun here. Who do we have here? Savannah, if I plant corn, what am I going to harvest? Thank you, Savannah. I knew she would have the right answer. Corn, right? If I plant corn, I'm going to get corn, right? Lily, are you with me? Thank you, Lily. Lily, if I plant tomatoes, what am I going to get? Thank you. These are our newest church members, by the way. Right? It's like, hello, you harvest what you plant. Okay, why is Paul talking about this? Well, very simple. He says, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. As long as we're on this planet, until Jesus comes back or we go to him, we are dealing with the struggle against sin. That's the name of the game. Till the day we die or Jesus comes back and we are in God's kingdom fully, then we're dealing with the struggle against sin. And as Christians, if we're giving into that, and you know, basically it's simply selfishness. I think it's one of the best definitions of sin. It's just selfishness. You're living for you. And Paul says, as a Christian, if you're living for you, if you're living selfishly, then what you're doing is you got your own little sin farm going, right? You got your sin garden right there. And day after day, you're planting in your sin garden selfishly. It's all about you. And you're planting that. And guess what the harvest is going to be? Death. Sin, it, nothing good. Nothing good. Nothing good at all. And it plays out in all our relationships. And the lack of peace in our hearts. The lack of joy. But he says, there's a better option. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Now, this is for Christians. And we go, well, wait a minute. Jesus died for us. Our sins are all forgiven. There's nothing we could do about it. But Paul is pointing to how we live in an ongoing way, either in the life of the Spirit or in the life of what the Bible calls our flesh. Let me just call our selfishness. We're making that decision all the time. Every day you get up. This is why, you know, there's a great Bible teacher named John Mark Comer. And he's got this very simple thing. So simple. It's brilliant. Be with Jesus. And the more we're with Jesus, We become like Jesus, and then we start acting like Jesus. It's so simple, and it's so true. Why do you think Jesus had the disciples hang around him for 3.5 years? They were with him. They were becoming more like him. And then suddenly they're acting like him, right? They're doing the same ministry he's doing. We need to be with Jesus, which is another way of saying pursue life in the Spirit. It's an interesting, really interesting set of verses that Paul writes to those folks in Corinth who were living pretty selfishly. They hadn't abandoned Jesus. They hadn't abandoned the truth about salvation is only through Jesus, but they were living pretty selfishly. And so he's trying to help them see the same thing. And listen to what he says. He says, okay, we've got this foundation of Jesus. Okay, everybody's got that foundation of Jesus, right? But you got to build on a foundation. You just don't lay a foundation unless you're going to build something on it. So you got the foundation of Jesus. How are you building on it? How are you building on it? It's analogous to what kind of garden are you growing? What kind of spiritual garden are you growing? And here's what he says. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of minerals, of materials. Gold, silver, jewels, those are the good ones. That's living the way God wants us to live, unselfishly, being a blessing to others, looking to share the love of Jesus. Or the other one is wood, hay, or straw. Everyone, Paul says, every day is making a choice. What kind of spiritual building? What are the materials? Wood, hay, or straw? Or the valuable stuff? Gold, silver, or jewels? And then he says this, but on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. Guess what? The wood, hay, or straw is going to burn up, correct? Gold, silver, jewels doesn't burn up. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. Now note, this is not earning your salvation. This is a reward in eternity for those who are Christians based on how they've been living here. You're saved. That's not the issue. But there's some kind of reward, and this is clear throughout the scripture, throughout the New Testament. Jesus talks about it all the time, about these rewards in heaven. He says, if the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Wow, that is not how I want to enter into heaven, right? Like I just got out of a burning building and I'm smelling of smoke. It's the same choice. It's the same choice, just placed different metaphors, different descriptions, because that's all, when we're talking about heaven, when we're talking about eternity, all we have are metaphors to compare to earthly life here. And Paul says, look, you want to live to please the Spirit. Remember what the fruit of the Spirit are? He talks about them in Galatians. Love. Who doesn't want love? Genuine love. Receiving it and giving it. Love that's the kind of love that Jesus gave, unselfish. Love. Joy. Who doesn't want joy? Joy that's deeper than anything that the circumstances of this world can touch. Like a foundation that can't be washed away. Peace. Who doesn't want peace? Patience. Okay, that can be challenging. But we do want patience. Because you know what? I've never known a time when I've lost my patience that I was glad that I lost it. I'm sure you're the same. goodness, self-control. I've never known a time when I was glad I lost my self-control. But that's the kind of life the Spirit wants to give you if you're making these choices of living with the Spirit. And you know, it does. It's so simple. We spend time with Jesus, the one who's given us the Holy Spirit. You know, a couple thousand years ago almost now, when the Holy Spirit came down on Pentecost, which is today's Pentecost Sunday, we commemorate, remember it, celebrate it. When the Holy Spirit came, it's because those people had spent time, had opened their hearts to Jesus, welcomed him in, and were spending time with him. And the more you spend time with Jesus, the more you get to know, hear the voice of the Spirit, because you're more familiar, because you spent time. And then we start acting like Jesus more and more. You know, I talked about that this, specifically Galatians 6:9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Well, I was a relatively new Christian. I became a Christian in January of 72. In October of 1972, I'd started my first year of college. And I was reading my Bible, getting up early, studying. And I don't even know why I was in Galatians or what kind of reading plan I was doing. But I came to Galatians 6:9, and the Lord stopped me right there. And the Lord said, "This is your verse. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due time you will reap if you do not lose heart, if you don't give up." And I will tell you, growing up, I was a quitter. I was a giver-upper. Absolutely true. And the Lord knew that. And the Lord knew I would need to learn how to be resilient, how to keep going, no matter what was going on, no matter if I felt discouraged, no matter if difficult things happened, but keep doing good. And at the right time, I would reap if I don't give up, if I don't lose heart, if I don't lose heart. And the Lord, I'm just telling you, when you stay with Jesus, things can go up and down. We're in a fallen world. You think about the Christians in war zones, Christians in Russia and Ukraine and Africa, life goes up and down. But the one thing they know is ultimately, when they're with Jesus, they're going to be fine. This world is going to come to an end. But they're going to be fine in those difficult circumstances. And every one of us here has experienced challenging, difficult circumstances where we were ready to give up. We were ready to lose hope. And in that, the Lord wants to say, don't stop doing good, for in due time you'll reap. That garden you're growing and planting goodness in, planting love and kindness towards others in that garden, as night follows day, it will start blooming.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. If you would like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. God bless you today.